the ancient world, rabbis had their own way of teaching the scripture. So when a student had completely submitted himself to the study and acceptance of a rabbi's teaching, it was said that he took on the rabbi's yoke. Now that we know this, Jesus' words in Matthew 11, 29 through 30 make a lot more sense. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Jesus is saying here is his teachings were easy and not burdensome. When we embrace them, we find rest for our souls. Anything outside of life without his teachings is a life of chaos. The teachings or the yoke of the Pharisees were usually a bunch of made-up self-righteous rules that the people had to drag around like a ball in a chain. And Jesus speaks out against the Pharisees in Matthew 23, 1 through 4. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden." Jesus stated that the Pharisees and the experts of the law thought that they knew everything. They put heavy burdens upon the people by adding rules and regulations to the laws of Moses. They weren't even willing to follow their own additional laws. Today, we would call this legalism. Legalism is a cancer within Christianity. Legalism is a religion unto itself. Let us make our own rules and unto our own liking. Let us expound on what God says. Let us explain God's laws instead of letting God define them for himself. And if God is silent, by all means, let us speak for him. Chuck Swindoll defined legalism this way. Legalism occurs when we get into areas that are not set forth in Scripture. These may be such things as length of hair, tattoos, body piercings, skirts or pants for women, makeup or no makeup. These are not scriptural issues. Legalism begins when I expect you to do or not do something that is on my personal rules list. It is easy to become legalistic by attaching good-sounding rules to the scriptures. Now, the Wesleyan Church believes in scriptures first and foremost. We do not believe that any other book rises to the level of scripture. We can and do study other books, like commentaries and other books, but they also fall underneath scriptures. We believe in what the scriptures say, and only the scriptures should be forming our faith and our actions. But legalism insists on obeying dictates that are not written in the Bible. Now here's an exaggerated example of what this might look like. Several years ago, Jim gave me a Minnie Martin guitar. Let's say that he told me that I could only keep the guitar if I followed certain rules, which are not written on the user's guide found within the box. Number one, I must wash my hands before I play the guitar, because clean hands are very important in legalism. I must tune the guitar every time I play it. It does not matter if I just put it down for 5 minutes. I may not play augmented chords. We don't do that here. I may play a minor chord, but I must say a prayer if I want to, because the Lord prefers major chords, but he will permit a minor one if I say a prayer first. I must always use the Kaiser capo and not the Donner capo, because the Kaiser capo looks better with a guitar. Legalism is about this dumb for real. Jesus faced legalism that was about like this in his day. Reading now from Luke 6, 1 through 9. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples broke off heads of grain, rubbed off the husks in their hands, and ate the grain. But some Pharisees said, "Why are you breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" Jesus replied, "Haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests can eat. He also gave some to his companions." And Jesus added, "The Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." On another Sabbath day, a man with a deformed right hand was in the synagogue while Jesus was teaching. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew their thoughts. He said to the man with a deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." So the man came forward. Then Jesus said to his critics, "I have a question for you. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or destroy it?" The Sabbath, God created the Sabbath to be a good thing, a day of rest, but the legalists made it into a day of burden. They came along and wrote a list of mind-boggling rules which were expected to be followed down to the smallest detail. The Sabbath, it was supposed to be a day of rest, but the legalists turned it into a day of exhaustion. The day of rest turned into a day of hard work for the common folk. However, the Pharisees did not follow the laws that they themselves created. It was the old do as I say and not as I do routine. Ah, it's the Sabbath. It's time to sit in the Barca lounger and take it easy. Not so fast, Sparky. The Pharisees made 39 checkpoint lists as to what constituted as work. So before you relax and kick your feet up, read the list. This list is called the 39 Melakot. Here's some of the highlights on that list that still exist today. You can't peel fruit unless you're going to eat it right away. You may not cut anything, which means you cannot climb a tree, because if you do and you break a branch, you have cut something. You may not write more than two letters, but you can use as much punctuation as you want to. You may not extinguish a fire, which includes turning off anything that's electric. Your alarm clock goes off on the Sabbath, stinks to be you unless your Gentile neighbor hears it and comes running to your rescue. You may not kindle a fire, which includes turning on anything electric. Does this mean you cannot open your refrigerator door because that turns the light on? Yes, it does. However, if you're smart, you'll put a piece of masking tape over the switch in the refrigerator so the light doesn't come on the Sabbath when you open the refrigerator door. This is crazy. In the Luke text that I just read, Jesus breaks three of the 39 sacred Sabbath rules. Number one, he broke off heads of grain, which is reaping. Number two, he rubbed the grain in his hands, which is threshing. Number three, he prepared the grain to eat, which is winnowing. How did those Pharisees know what Jesus was doing? They were following him through the fields. I guess it's okay to stalk Christ on the Sabbath, but it's not okay for him to make a little cream of wheat. In the same text, Jesus enters the temple on a Sabbath, and he encounters a man with a withered hand. Now, you're only allowed to perform emergency medical procedures on the Sabbath, like if a baby is about to be born or if someone has a heart attack. Of course, you gotta wonder what kind of exertion the guy was doing that made him have a heart attack on the Sabbath, but let's leave that one alone. The Pharisees obviously do not believe the guy's hand is an emergency. After all, he's been living with it his whole life. What's another day gonna matter? But Jesus heals the guy right there in front of God and everybody. Then Jesus makes a reference to a very important law that all of those Pharisees conveniently forgot. In the event that a human life is in danger, a Jew is required to violate Sabbath law to rescue that person. Jesus reminded the Pharisees that if one of their animals fell into a ditch on a Sabbath, they'd be the first ones down there to yank it out. Jesus tells them that rescuing a human being has an even higher priority. The Pharisees show us something that we can see all around us today. Religious people take themselves and their rules very seriously. Hats are a good indicator of who is taking their religion seriously. In one church, everybody's got to take their hat off. In another church, everybody's got to put their hat on. In another church, the woman puts her hat on and the man takes his hat off. In the church across the street, the woman takes off her hat and the man puts his hat on. I went to an Egyptian Orthodox church many years ago. When I got to the church, I found that I was expected to wear a head covering. And I also found out I was expected to take my shoes off before entering the sanctuary because the sanctuary was considered holy ground. The friend I was with told me that I did not have to wear a head covering and I didn't have to take my shoes off if I didn't want to. But I could tell by the look on her face that if I didn't do either one of these things, I would shame her in front of all these people that she went to church with. So I did. I wore the head covering and I took my shoes off. Sometimes I submit to legalistic rules out of respect for somebody else. One of the problems with legalism is how silly it makes people. The Jews made a rule that you could only travel 1 mile on the Sabbath unless you were on a boat, and then you could go as far as you wanted. A very devout Jewish man gets in his car on the Sabbath, puts a bottle of water under his seat, and drives as far as he wants because he is now over water. One of the Sabbath rules is that you cannot cause electricity to work. There are regular elevators and Shabbat elevators in every hotel in Israel. The Shabbat elevator runs continuously and automatically stops on every floor. This way, no Jew has to push the button, thus making electricity work. A pastor that I listen to on a regular basis by the name of Mark Driscoll tells a story about his adventure on the Shabbat elevator. He gets on the elevator and notices that it stops on every single floor, and he is in a very tall hotel. So he looks at the man next to him and says, "What gives with the elevator stopping on every floor?" And the man tells him plainly, "Well, you're on the Shabbat elevator." And the man went on to explain to him that it is a sin for the Jews to push the buttons, so they have to take the elevator that stops on every floor, even if it takes forever. Well, Driscoll scratches his head a little bit, and he says, "Well, is there a Gentile elevator?" And the guy says, "Sure is. It's right next to this one." So Driscoll gets off the Shabbat elevator and gets on the Gentile elevator. To his surprise, the Jews on the Shabbat elevator all follow him off and get on the Gentile elevator with him. And then they say, "Can you push the button to the 7th floor, the 11th floor, the 12th floor?" And Driscoll says, "Yes, I can. I'm a Christian, so I can push them all." No religion is free from legalism. Good Muslims are not supposed to drink alcohol, but in Turkey, their national drink is a hard alcoholic beverage called reiki. When asked why their national drink is a fermented beverage, they say this kind of loophole. "Well, reiki is distilled alcohol and not fermented alcohol." Yeah, but alcohol is alcohol, isn't it? This is fun, so let's keep going. The Westminster Larger Catechism, which is an excellent document, says that you're not supposed to do anything recreational on the Sabbath. I was good friends with a woman whose family lived and died by this antiquated edict. As a child, she was required to sit in the living room after church on Sundays all day doing nothing. There was no reading because reading is recreational, no television because television is recreational, no playing outside because that's recreational. You couldn't visit your friends or talk on the phone because that was recreational. If you want to make a kid hate church and Christianity, practice this kind of religious legalism. I graduated from Grand Rapids School of the Bible and Music. It's now Cornerstone University. And this was back in the good old days when women had to wear dresses or skirts at all times except on Saturdays. No one was ever to wear jeans except for the men, but only on Saturdays. Women could wear slacks on Saturdays, but definitely not jeans. Men's hair could not touch their collars, their sideburns could not extend past their earlobes, and the only facial hair they were allowed was a neatly groomed mustache. Music was to be of the Christian variety only, and in no case could you listen to music that made you feel like dancing. This is a vivid example of how absurd it is to make up a bunch of rules that have absolutely nothing to do with the Bible and enforce them like they are the Ten Commandments. And you all wondered why I was so twisted. That's why. We all have personal rules. I certainly do. Rule number one, I must be allowed to drink Mountain Dew first thing in the morning. Rule number two, I may not be taken anywhere where I have to sit in traffic. Rule number three, you may not take me anywhere unless there are snacks in the car. Rule number four, I must be allowed to fall asleep with the TV on. Oh yeah, I know my rules are pretty stupid, but they're not as bad as some other rules I've heard of. Did you know in North Carolina there's still a law on the books that it is illegal to sing off key? I'm not going to point fingers, but some of us would be in trouble. Georgia law states that chickens are not allowed to cross the road. So put away your chicken crossing the road joke. It's not funny. In Wyoming, you cannot take a picture of a rabbit from January till April without a permit. Now, if you're going to drive through Washington State and you have criminal intentions, what you have to do is stop at the city limits and telephone the chief of police that you're about to come through town. In Virginia, there's a law still on the books that says for a woman to legally drive down Main Street, her husband must walk in front of the car waving a red flag. Humans make up some of the stupidest, some of the most petty, some of the most self-serving rules. I believe that disqualifies us from making up the rules. If we're too flawed to make up the rules, who should? Oh, I know, this is a no-brainer. Jesus should make up the rules, and he has. And the beauty of that is Jesus is gentle and humble of heart, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Jesus' teachings and God's law are the roadmap to a good life. They are the boundaries that keep us from driving into a ditch. I guarantee that whenever we find ourselves in a ditch, somebody somewhere broke one of God's rules. The book of Psalms tells us we should desire to follow the laws of God like we hunger for bread and like we thirst for water.